300 other skulls, particularly of amethyst origin. Are you planning a skull triad symbol, or are you trying to, through the skulls, reactivate those that have departed, or what is the purpose of your bringing in so many skulls?
Well, see, basically, we're bringing in small ones, which are called monitors.
Yes.
But see, each time, there are actually eight circles of crystal skulls and have been since the elders brought the original singing skulls down from, you know, the Star Nation people. And those singing skulls, you must understand that in 1554, when Cortez came with Father Diaz, two of the skulls were lost. The Mitchell Hedges skull and the skull that contained the knowledge of Pleiades. The planet was called Plahetica in our language.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time, two of the skulls were lost and were put back and were supposed to be sent on the ship. A very, very powerful story happened with that, Nick. What they did is that one of the skulls actually got back all the way to Italy. And in World War II, a Navajo sergeant found it in a church that had been taken over as an observatory station, a reconnaissance station, by the Patton's Allied forces. And he recognized it for what it was, saw that it had a moving jaw, knew that it was one of the singing skulls, put it in his duffel bag. He ended up losing an arm and a leg. His grandfather was one of the Twisted Hairs. So it got returned back to the council.
What year was this?
Let's see. That would have been 1944.
Well, 1944, 45. I was with a skull in France that had everything you're describing and belonged to the Knights Templars and to the Society of the Blood of Jesus.
Right. See, that's one of the ones that doesn't have a moving jaw.
And we have not relocated that skull yet again, but...
In fact, that farmhouse disappeared, as I remember.
Yes, the farmhouse disappeared. Quite a few things disappeared. Yeah. The people disappeared. All sorts of things happened.
Right.
But I was just curious about it. There is also one in... was in Berlin, is now in Italy, with a movable jaw and clear quartz crystal, which was held by one of the Gestapo and
right.
Moved from there and is in Italy at this time. We are now looking for it. And so far, all we have are dead ends. We haven't found
it. Well, that's because it's been returned back to the council here in the United States.
Okay,
I see. That's where it belongs, in a sense, and that it's part of the family.
Does the Mitchell Hedges skull belong with the council in your estimation, Swifty?
Yes, sir, it does. I went up and talked to Anna, and I've sat and worked with it, my wife, Diane Nightbird, and I. And it is, you know, once we went up there, by the way, what activates the crystal skulls is what is called the crystal goddess and the jade god. They're two figurines that are passed along to each twisted hair Nagual, or a leader of a wheel, a circle of crystal skull. And then basically that Nagual has to create their own. They have to get back to the old lineage carvers and create a full-size amethyst and 12 clear ones, and then a small fist-sized monitor for each member of the wheel. And, of course, that's what I'm now in the process of doing. A friend of mine, Damien Quinn, we've been, you know, it's taken us almost 8 years to get back to a carver in Brazil, whose great-great-grandfather was one of the ones that carved and, you know, is in the lineage of what we call the lineage of carvers. I will do is take my set of skulls. I shouldn't say mine. They're not mine, but it'll be our wheels. And they will be linked in. That is, computer linked. I use that term because I don't know another
word. It's a good link, yeah.
And we will hook them into the singing skulls.
Well, now, Nick was able to activate it without any of that.
Right, because see, you can, you know, you activate it, but what you get is the same thing as if I go in here on my Macintosh and, you know, I turn it on and I put in the disk, but I can't access what's in the memory, say, of the Novad computer. So all you can do is get into its basic programs.
Well, we got in far more than the basic. We went in at least that we figure, if we count the dimensions, one behind the other, there was at least 13, maybe 14 dimensions. Each one holding a picture and each one giving a direct picture. So
right.
This was no simple deal. We've been working with codes for years.
Right.
And we understand sound and we understand color.
Right.
And we understand the rainbow and the rainbow people.
Mm-hmm. And you'll find it's got 144 programs in its basic.
Well, it's more than that, really, depending on how you're looking at it.
I have a basic program I have to get at.
Oh, my God. I want to talk to this guy. Oh, well, go ahead.
Can you hang on there, Swift Deer?
Sure.
All right. Thank you very much. You're with Swift Deer tonight. And Nick Nicerino. I'm Bill Jenner. Still on the line. Nick, you still finish that conversation off there.
Well, there's more than one fabulous crystal skull, as Swift Deer knows, and I'm sure his elders know, too. I was just curious as to his use. You see, I remember talking to a Sioux dog soldier quite some time ago, a very old man, who claimed that there were 9 council of skulls, and he claims there are 8. And I'm wondering if each tribe has a different understanding of the skulls, or if they don't. But can you enlighten me on that? Is he still there?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. As soon as I push the button, he's there.
Did you hear my question?
Yes, I did. There are 9 circles, Nick. That's very accurate. The man that you mentioned is also one of the twisted ears. And see, the 9th is actually the one that's in the center. And then there are 8 circles outside of that.
Oh, okay.
And the thing of it is that there are literally 5 circles of crystal skulls. So there are 13 times 8 plus the 13 that's in the center. So that's how many there are all total. But you've got to understand that for American Indians, we only have 5 circles of 13. And then we hold the singing skulls in, I guess you could say, in abeyance until the time when, you know, we're gathering together in world peace. And the Mitchell Hedges skull is not to be returned, according to our prophecies, and it's about a 200,000-year-old prophecy, until such time as we do set with the children and gather together in world peace. And that was what our elders are saying is now fixing to happen. I'm sure you're probably aware that August the 16th is when the 1987 ends a 1,352-year cycle that was called the 13 deaths, or the 13 scourges by the Mayans.
Yes, the scourges.
And we start a 752-year cycle, 7 cycles of 52 years, on August the 17th, 1987. And the elders are meeting because much of the strip mining, much of the stuff going on at Black Mesa, is getting very, very close to one of the main entrances down into the Kivas where the singing skulls are kept. And, of course, if they continue, they could destroy hieroglyphic records that are down in those old Kivas that show many of the things and the speculations that we've talked about. For example, the Cetacea connection. The elders say that the old twisted hairs that came here from Sirius and Pleiades would not take on a human body because they would lose too much memory. So they would frequently choose that of the great porpoise, the great whale, which you were referring to as the killer whale, which, by the way, is a dolphin. It is not a whale. If you'll check with John Linney, he'll verify that for you. It is actually the largest of the dolphins, the orca, and is not in essence a whale at all, like the sperm whale and the other species in that cetacea group. But they would pick on or use those forms because they could process more stimulus input from the environment and not lose memory, as opposed to taking on a humanoid form, which would require them to slow their vibration down to such an extent that they would lose memory. And so there's very, very much that is there. And as you know, in working with just one singing skull, with the Mitch's Hedges skull, there's so much depth to it that is far beyond anything that we could even begin to imagine. And having seen, you know, the other 11 in the Amethyst skull, which is called the Ark, it's awesome to see what the elders do with these. And it is intertribal. It's Lakota, Dakota. It goes all the way down from the tip of South America up above Alaska that belong to this Twisted Hair Medicine Society. And it's a very closed, very secret society. However, they opened their teachings in 1979. And so there are many of us, a man named Sunbear, Haim Neil Storm, Leonard Krobog, myself, Twyla Neach. There are many of us, Grandmother Evelyn Eaton, who just passed on, Grandfather Tom Wilson of the Navajo. Many of these old men and women have started opening their teachings and opening the teachings that have been held and kept in the computer imagery of programs of the crystal skulls.
Why swift deer were the crystal skulls always seemingly found in Central America?
Well, they were kept for many years, Bill, in Oaxaca at Monte Alban. And, of course, with losing two of the skulls, the Mitchell Hedges skull, which is Grandmother Earth, and the other one, which is Pleiades, and they finally got, like I say, the one back from Italy is now back in the council. In fact, I saw it not even a year ago.
What about the one in England and the one in Paris?
Those belong to the other circles. In other words, the other circles of eight. They're not actually part of the original singing skull group.
Now, I've seen and worked with eight skulls.
Mm-hmm.
Full size, some right. bigger than the others. I'm talking about full size, not the ones that Dave Quinn is making.
No, full size.
I'm talking about full size
right.
skulls. And I've worked with...
Guys, we've just gone through a full size hour.
We can't have gone through an hour. We get into Rose Quartz.
Hang on, we'll be back in a second.
Oh, my God.
Hey, golfers!
In the midst of a stimulating discussion here this Saturday night on Open Mind, we're going to take a break for network news. We have our guest, Nick Nasserino. Our subject is basically the crystal skull, but we can talk about anything. And, Swift, dear, if you want to hang on for about 8 minutes, we'd like to get back and finish the conversation that you and Nick are into that's so fascinating. Would you?
I'll be happy to.
All right. We'll be back after the news. I'm Bill Jenkins. Jenkins, with me is Nick Nasserino. We're talking about the crystal skull, among other things, but we're certainly able to talk about other things as well, like UFOs. And would you believe mermaids?
Talk about anything you want.
They're there, too. Well, let's finish up our conversation with Swift Deer. Are you there, Swift Deer?
Yes.
Okay.
He's a patient man.
Patient. Very patient, Swift Deer.
That's one of the attributes of our elders.
Yeah, God bless.
I don't want to really hog the program, Bill. I just really wanted to have a chance to talk with Nick. I've followed his work for quite some time. And quite frankly, I've been very impressed with the work that you've done, Nick, with the skulls.
Well, thank you.
And I think you've done a great service to try to get people to understand that there's a lot more there that we're not aware of.
Well, as soon as our book gets out, I'll have to make you sure you get a copy of it somewhere.
We would definitely appreciate that. And
I appreciate the information from our Indian brothers concerning the skulls. I think it's marvelous to find out that in the oral history of the Indian nations are the stories of the civilizations we've been talking about on this show for the last 9 years, from Pleiades and from Cirrus and the other places.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we could actually, what I'll try to do, Bill, is I can send on to you a copy of the writings that we've translated over into English that I spent about 8 years translating.
I'd love to have
that. And you can maybe relay it on to Nick.
Oh, I'd love to get it. Yes,
I think the main point that I would just simply like to leave to the listening audience and to both Bill and Nick is that, you know, we're all here to try to achieve something of beauty on this planet. And what the crystal skulls really show us is what we're capable of in the way of technology that is in alignment with Grandmother Earth. And it doesn't destroy the mineral, it doesn't destroy the plant, the animal, the human, or the spirit. And we can do that, and we can get it back. There's a lot of help. There's a lot of people that are pulling it together. We did a Rainbow Planetary Festival in Interlaken, Switzerland. The Dalai Lama was present. We had basically scientists, shamanic healers, metaphysicians and psychics, medical doctors, and world religious and spiritual leaders, as well as current scientists, Ralph Abrams, Rupert Sheldrake. I could go on with a long list. And we met with all these people at what was called the Rainbow Planetary Festival and sat down and discussed key issues about world peace from each of those disciplines. And we're planning to hold another one next year in Texas, in Dallas, Texas, another Rainbow Planetary Festival. And, of course, you're talking about the thing you're doing on Saturday.
I hope you join us.
I will be in Dallas, Texas, interestingly enough, doing the teaching to the group down there on the crystal skulls, and also in using healing crystals in the American Indian tradition. So I won't be able to join you, but I'll certainly join you by holding a pipe ceremony in Dallas. So we'll join you with a pipe ceremony there in Dallas and try to link with you that way.
Well, you can. And we hope you do.
And we will look forward to it, and I really appreciate being on your program.
All right, Swift, dear, thank you for joining us.
God bless.
It's a pleasure for us all.
You're welcome, and welcome, Beauty.
All right.
God bless now.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye now.
There are always moments that are delightful. And
yes.
It's good to hear the signs and the sounds from our Indian brethren. They are very concerned about what's happening to Grandmother Earth right now. There's a great stirring among the nations and among the shamans. And perhaps we got a little more insight to it. The culture of the American Indians is fascinating. And where they are and what they know are those things that we just touch here and think that we're into the future. Whenever these people have known about it for centuries. Kind of makes us feel way behind the times, doesn't it? Okay, we have Pat on the line. Hello, Pat.
Hi, Bill. Hi, Nick.
Hi, dear. Thank you for hanging on, Pat.
That was, my ear is totally paralyzed listening, but that was so marvelous about the Indian man.
Yes.
And I'm a quarter Cherokee Indian, so I can really feel.
Okay.
Okay, my question is very, very simple. I know your man is a total authority on crystals. And I just bought a piece of crystal at Alexandria, and also the books and everything, and I've studied metaphysics and truth and for about 40 years, so I'm not totally brand new at this. But I wondered, I'm wearing the crystal around my neck. I've had it on for a week, and wonderful things have already begun to happen. But what I'm interested in is working primarily healing animals. I've done some healing with animals and some with people. But how can I make this work stronger for animals?
Well, number one, contact Dr. Gloria Dodd.
Mm-hmm.
She has an office in Dublin and one in San Ramon,
okay.
California. I don't have her address on me. She's in the phone book.
Mm-hmm.
She's a veterinarian. And I'm sure you can get it from Heidi Ho because they have her address. They did some communicating with her this last year. And she has done marvelous work with crystals and animals. And what we find basically is we have dogs who are just about ready to roll over and not move. And by placing crystals on their collar, on the chest, for instance, we also have harnesses that we put where they have arthritis in the legs and stuff. That you can put crystals on. We put crystal in the water in their cages, in kennels, as well as, so they drink water crystal. We have a crystal hanging from the top of their doghouse, as well as in their water. And the results we've had, we have one dog that was supposed to have died roughly about 6 months ago. He couldn't even, he couldn't move a half inch. He just defecated all over himself and everything else. Now he's walking all around the place. He's 18 and a half years old. And he's doing a fantastic job. So I would contact Dr. Gloria Dodd and just write her a letter and she'll respond.
And her first name was what?
Gloria, G-L-O-R-I-A, Gloria,
Gloria Dodd. Okay, fine. Now, all right, let me just ask you, if you are working with an animal that seems to have throat or coughing or something, placing the crystal on them, at the neck part, and how would you said you strap that on or put that on the collar or something?
Yes, we just take a little thread or some ribbon or a cord or whatever you want and just tie it and have it hang down.
Great.
So it hits against the chest or
yes,
the throat.
Yes. And then working with people, if you're doing healing, would you put crystal on them, like for instance around their neck, or let them wear it with the point down?
Well, I suggest anytime you're using a crystal, you use a point down when you're hanging it on a body. I know there's this new school of thought by some people who have all of a sudden come out of nowhere and said that you've got to wear the crystal with the point up. But the point is the energy line. The energy line goes down the chakras.
Right.
And it goes down into the feet, which is the ground. And you have two chakras in the feet, which are very important, the same as the chakras in the hand. And therefore, it's advantageous for you to allow this energy flow to take place, and it comes up through the body again and moves down again. Whereas if you turn it upward, you have the energy go out the head and doesn't serve the purposes that it should serve. Have you taken the crystal awareness course?
No. I would love to.
I would suggest that you contact either One of the Crystal Awareness teachers, either Heidi Ho or Peggy or whoever is in the area. And there are at least 400 teachers down here, or graduates or something.
Anyone anywhere near Irvine?
I don't know.
Orange County.
Call Heidi Ho Enterprises. Mm-hmm. And Master Ho or Susan or one of the people there will be more than glad to...
In fact, why don't you just go over your little tour that you're going through right now, if you will, Nick, and maybe this will be of help to Pat.
Let me do it. Let me let Ho do that, and
right.
He'll give you
all
the
right,
number to call.
He lets me do this because I can read my notes.
Okay, wonderful.
First of all, let me give you the number. The number is 818-761.
Okay, that's in the city. Mm-hmm.
Right,
yeah.
0945.
0945.
Okay, and I'll give that number again before I get done. Tomorrow, Nick is doing a crystal workshop from 10 to 6.
Yes, I heard you say that. Mm-hmm.
Sportsman's Lodge, and mm-hmm. it's $50. Crystal sales all day. Mm-hmm. On Tuesday, he's doing psychic influences at the Sportsman's Lodge, 7:30 at night, and that's $20. Wednesday, astral senses, Sportsman's Lodge, $20.
Now, that's in Studio City or
that's
Ventura?
In Studio City.
Uh-huh.
Then we move to Orange.
Good.
And what I'm going to suggest again is rather than go through the whole thing, call 818-761 0945. There are people on the phones now. There will be people on the phones all day tomorrow. And they'll give you the full tour because it's a full tour of ghost busting workshops with slides, crystal skulls where you can come in and look at the photographs, see the changes, psychometry workshops, which is Nick's specialty. There are so many different things we've got him doing on this tour because Nick is really one of the most well-rounded people I know in this field.
Like an almost
He looks pretty thin to me.
Bill, let me just tell you something real quick, because I know, since I have worn the crystal, and of course sleep in it every night and have another piece by my bed, I just go floating all over everywhere at night.
You're not
and
going out of body, are you?
Yes. And meeting with people that have been gone for a long, long time, and talking to them just like, you know, yesterday. But I really don't like it. I don't see any need. That's not what I want to do. I don't want to...
Lend me your crystals.
I want to work here. I just don't have any desire to do that. I go and visit with my mother and, other people, and that's lovely and everything, but...
Put a double-terminated crystal on your head.
What?
And take a double-terminated crystal and place it on the center of your head. And just tie it down or glue it down or however you do your
uh-huh.
head these days.
Uh-huh.
Some people have wigs you can take them off. Some
well,
don't.
I don't.
Okay. And you put the point, so there's one point going toward each ear.
All right.
And then go to sleep and you'll have better control of the projection state. You also, if you want to control your dream state better, put it from the point of the forehead to the point of the back. So one points to the back and one points to the forehead.
Okay.
But if you're having an uncomfortable situation, put it crosswise from ear to ear along the center plate of your head,
uh-huh.
right across
uh-huh.
the where the ear enters on both sides. So each
right.
one point is facing each one of them. And I think you'll find it a lot more comfortable and you'll have better control.
All right. Well, thank you. It's just wonderful to be a part of listening to this. It's just absolutely fascinating.
Well, Pat, thank you very much for joining us.
Oh, thank you.
And,
bye-bye.
Somebody's going out of body just willy-nilly and doesn't want to go.
I love it.
Okay.
I'll have to have a long talk with you, Pat.
Well, I would love to. I saw your picture in Alexandria, and you look exactly like you found.
He's handsome.
Indeed.
Thank you, Pat.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right. It's 19 minutes past the 11 o'clock mark on this Saturday night. I'm Bill Jenkins. With me, Nick Misserino.
We'll be exploring fascinating topics with the real experts. In person is what we're about.
Thank you, Richard. You know, this Tuesday, Open Mind listeners are invited to hear a favorite guest of this program. That's Bill Moore. Now, you've heard Bill talking about his UFO investigations and his book and movie, The Philadelphia Experiment. This Tuesday evening at 7:30, he'll be giving a presentation on UFO secrecy and the national security. So come and talk to Bill. The cost is $15, $10 for the members, at the LAX Holiday Inn. So call right now. The number is 818-501-5559. That's 818-501-5559. Nick, the last time you were here, and we've talked a little bit here, on the side, as these little commercial messages, in mermaids. Now, we've heard those. Most people don't believe such things exist, and you're telling me that they do?
Well, I don't know that they exist. All I know is that I've spent a lot of years researching mermaids. I know of only one book on mermaids. It's odd, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Particularly when they were one of the hottest religious items for several hundred years. They replaced the angels, who then were replaced by mermaids, who were then replaced by angels. It seems religion has a lot to do with what happened to mermaids and so forth and so on. And mermaids were made the stealer of souls, bodies, and so forth and so on. I think it has something to do with the fact that it's very possible there's a civilization that we're not aware of that exists in our waters. You know, we know more about what's going on outside the planet than we knew of what's going on 5 miles down inside the Earth
mm-hmm.
or in the depths of our ocean.
That's right.
It's really quite amazing when you stop to think about how little we know about the Earth and we spend all this time learning about everything else. Well, I think we better learn about the Earth so we can get Mother Nature straightened out. The mermaid theory has come to me over a period of nearly 45, 46 years that I've been very interested in. It came through people telling me that they saw things, and it was particularly when I was in the service and then I was in the Navy, you know, and things like that, and I traveled around the world. People had these legends of mermaids, and there were actual cases of where someone was attacked or killed or so forth and so on. And I was able to track down three mermaids that supposedly were taken and were taken to laboratories to be researched, and I have yet to been able to get the information on them. I even called the Tatler at that time, which is an old news weekly, which had something on mermaids. I talked to the National Enquirer, some people there, and other places, and they gave me information on two recent mermaid finds within this year.
Mm-hmm.
And they state certain things, which I think are rather interesting. Number one, that the bodies are completely tattooed on back and front, and that means a very highly sophisticated society when you start tattooing bodies.
Mm-hmm.
You're talking about someone that is very involved and very intellectual and knows what they're doing. Also, the one mermaid, which was found roughly about 2 months ago in the Amazon region, was supposedly shot by several natives, and then the authorities came and took the body, and from there it went to a college, and from there no one knows where it went. I'm not going to give you any names because I'm still trying to track it down. And I don't want other people getting in there. When you do research, you don't want to give names and addresses because there's always somebody listening on the radio who gets involved. You tell about a haunted house, you give the address. The next thing you know, they're at the haunted house getting involved.
Messing things up
for you. So you never give addresses if you can or names. You use what we call code names.
Okay.
So we'll say Amazon and that's it.
Right.
We'll go from there. In the skulls, as well as in many of the crystal balls, and in the Chinese ball, which is a 12-inch crystal sphere, and in a great many of the scrying stones. Now, most scrying stones were not balls. They were simply polished stone, where they were pieces of quartz crystal, where one end was polished and the rest was left rough. So when you looked into what is called a sunken barrel or a seeing barrel. We constantly see mermaids or mermen, such things as merwogs and different types of things that are in the ocean.
Combination of
yes.
fish and man.
Fish and man. And there's another thing that we see that's very interesting, that is a combination of bird and man. Now, you see this bird and man in at least five of the crystal skulls, and the mermaid you see in all of them, and the underwater civilization, what seems to be an underwater civilization, you see in all of them. Now, it's either on some other planet or it's here. I'm not sure where it is, but I'm writing about it, and I'm looking for specific information right now to put in to finish this writing that I want to do. And I seem to be stopped, would you believe it, not by normal people, but by government people or officials.
Good old friend Uncle Sam.
Well, if it isn't Uncle Sam, it's somebody's government that's stopping me
Uncle Sam
from getting information.
Uncle Sam wants you to keep your head in the sand.
Yeah.
That's true about UFOs. That's true about anything. Get involved with the RTD bus wrecks. You know, keep your mind on the brush fires.
Well, it goes deep in the nut in this regard. I talked to several people in the services, Navy, Coast Guard, other places, and they tell me that there's a tremendous interest in everything that comes out of the water, more than there is things that are flying around in the sky.
Mm-hmm.
Those are interesting, but if it's coming from water, it really gets a lot of attention.
Particularly if it's a UFO.
Oh, are there such things? I didn't realize that.
Yes, there is.
There are UFOs? Oh, okay. And we call them UAOs or UOAs. We have other names for them.
Mm-hmm.
We identify things that come from rivers differently than things that come from oceans, differently than things that come from reservoirs and lakes. And we identify things that come from the sky and go in water over things that come from the water and go into the sky. We have a specific category for all of these things. But there is a thing called the UFO. I'm glad, because I can't get anybody to admit to me at certain levels that they exist.
Do you want to read the Freedom of Information documents from General Twining and from General George Marshall and from Douglas MacArthur and from...
I've read all of them, but I read Project Blue Book and half of it was crossed out.
Well, Project Blue Book, of course, was a joke.
Yeah, and so was some other things.
The condom reports were a joke.
Yes, I agree. But that's that. I think that there's a great deal of knowledge here, and I think that we are going to find in the Pacific Ocean, particularly somewhere between Chile and Central America, somewhere between 500 to 1,000 or more miles in that area, we're going to find a civilization of life. Now, I put my...